Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Lord Rishabhadev's teachings. And we're getting to the end of the chapter, I think. Text number 31. The Sanskrit is in prose, so we're not even going to attempt to read that. Translation. Lord Rishabhadev's hands, feet, and chest were very long. His shoulders, face, and limbs were all very delicate and symmetrically proportioned. His mouth was beautifully decorated with a natural smile, and he appeared all the more lovely with his reddish eyes spread wide like petals of a newly grown lotus flower, covered with dew in the early morning. The irises of his eyes were so pleasing that they removed all the troubles of everyone who saw him. His forehead, ears, neck, nose, and all his other features were so beautiful, were very beautiful. His gentle smile always made his face beautiful, so much so that even when he attracted the hearts of the married women. It was as though they had been pierced by the arrows of Cupid. About his head was an abundance of curly, matted brown hair. His hair was disheveled because his body was dirty and not taken care of, and he appeared as if he were haunted by a ghost. Purport. Although Lord Rishabhadev's body was very much neglected, his transcendental features were so attractive that even married women were attracted to him. His beauty and dirtiness combined to make his beautiful body appear as though it were haunted by a ghost. I'm going to read the next two slokas also. 32. When Lord Rishabhadev saw that the general populace was very antagonistic to his execution of mystic yoga, he accepted the behavior of a python in order to counteract their opposition. He stayed in one place and lay down. While lying down, he ate and drank, and he passed stool and urine and rolled in it. Indeed, he smeared his whole body with his own stool and urine so that opposing elements might not come and disturb him. Purport. According to one's destiny, one enjoys allotted happiness and distress, even though one keeps himself in one place. This is the injunction of the Shastra. One who is spiritually situated, he may stay in one place, and all his necessities will be supplied by the arrangement of the Supreme Controller. Unless one is a preacher, there is no need to travel all over the world. A person can stay in one place and execute devotional service suitably according to time and circumstance. When Rishabhadev saw that he was simply being disturbed by traveling throughout the world, he decided to lie down in one place like a python. Thus he ate, drank, and passed stool and urine, and smeared his body with them so that people would not disturb him. Text 33. Because Lord Rishabhadev remained in that condition, the public did not disturb him, but no bad aroma emanated from his stool and urine. Quite the contrary, his stool and urine were so aromatic that they filled 80 miles of the countryside with a pleasant fragrance. Purport. From this we can certainly assume that Lord Rishabhadev is transcendentally blissful. His stool and urine were so completely different from material stool and urine that they were aromatic. Even in the material world, cow dung is accepted as purified and antiseptic. A person can keep stacks of cow dung in one place, and it will not create a bad odor to disturb anyone. We can take it for granted that in the spiritual world, stool and urine are also pleasantly scented. Indeed, the entire atmosphere became very pleasant due to Lord Rishabhadev's stool and urine. Text 34. In this way, Lord Rishabhadev followed the behavior of cows, deer, and crows. Sometimes he walked or moved, and sometimes he sat down in one place. Sometimes he lay down, behaving exactly like cows, deer, and crows. In that way, he ate, drank, passed stool and urine, and cheated the people. Purport. Being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Rishabhdev possessed a transcendental spiritual body. Since the general public could not appreciate his behavior in mystic yoga practice, they began to disturb him. To cheat them, he behaved like crows, cows, and deer. Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swabdantikam. These verses are certainly surprising to anyone who reads them the first time, that the personality of Rishabhdev, who is the Supreme Lord himself, would behave in these ways. And one wonders, one is naturally wondering why he would do that. If he is God himself, why he would not behave as God or show himself as God. So Rishabhdev, the incarnations of the Lord, they have different purposes. So Rishabhdev, formerly, he was behaving or acting, took the role of the king. He ruled the world. Then he had his 100 sons, and he taught them all the wonderful things that we read earlier in this chapter. And now he's retiring from material life. So when the Lord comes many times, he doesn't show himself as God, but rather he follows the path of ordinary person to show by example how people should behave. So when he retired from the kingdom, he would wander around, and he was following the path of mystic yoga. And in order to not become disturbed by people, he would not interact with them. Rather, he presented himself as a madman or a fool. So we see this in the behavior of several other personalities, that they, Judd Barrett, for example, and also the eldest son of Dhruva Maharaj followed the same, did the same thing. That is, they do not want to become influenced or entangled in material life again. So they behave in a way so that people will reject them. This is a very difficult thing to do, as one can imagine, because we're social beings. We like to be everybody. We need some interaction with other people. But one who is transcendentally situated is actually free from that because they're connected with the Supreme. So therefore, they can become free from interaction with others. And that kind of association with ordinary people is rejected because they do not want to become entangled. So this is a very difficult thing to do, even for anybody. To remain alone for a short time is considered torture. In the prisons, when they want to torture somebody, they put them in solitary confinement. They put them in a place where they have no social interaction. And this is considered severe punishment. But the transcendentalists, they can adopt that type of behavior because they're experiencing satisfaction within and connection with the Lord within. So Rishabhdev, he rolled in his own stool and urine and so that opposing elements might not come to disturb him. And in another purport elsewhere, Prabhupada advises the neophyte devotees not to imitate the behavior of Lord Rishabhdev, unless their own stool and urine is aromatic like that of Rishabhdev. They should not try to imitate this behavior. One might can imagine that somebody wants to advertise themselves as some advanced person. They're going to do that, but Prabhupada recognized, at least at some point, that some of his followers were not, were a little eccentric, let's say. So, don't have much more to say about that. Should we continue to read? Any comments or questions? Yeah.
So Rishabhdev wasn't following the rules and regulations for Vanaprastha ashram.
He wasn't following the rules for Vanaprastha. He was following the different yogic path. Yeah. Huh? Yeah, what did it say? It says the path of mystic yoga or something like that. Yeah, his execution of mystic yoga. I'm not sure exactly what that is, so I can't comment on that. Okay, we'll read the last sloka of this chapter then. Text 35. O King Pariksit, just to show all the yogis, the mystic process, Lord Rishabhdev, the partial expansion of Lord Krishna, performed wonderful activities. Actually, he was the master of liberation and was fully absorbed in transcendental bliss, which increased 1,000-fold. Lord Krishna Vasudev, the son of Vasudev, is the original source of Lord Rishabhdev. There is no difference in their constitution, and consequently, Lord Rishabhdev awakened the loving symptoms of crying, laughing, and shivering. He was always absorbed in transcendental love. Due to this, all mystic powers automatically approached him. Such as the ability to travel in outer space at the speed of mind, to appear and disappear, to enter into the bodies of others, and to see things far, far away. Although he could do these things, he did not exercise these powers. Purport. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, it is said, Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ateva Shanta Bhakti Mukti Siddhi Kama Shakali Asanta. The word shanta means completely peaceful. Unless one's desires are fulfilled, one cannot be peaceful. Everyone is trying to fulfill his aspirations and desires, be they material or spiritual. Those in the material world are called asanta, without peace, because they have so many desires to fulfill. The pure devotee, however, is without desire. Anya bilasita sunya. A pure devotee is completely free from all kinds of material desires. Karmis, on the other hand, are simply full of desires because they are trying to enjoy sense gratification. They are not peaceful in this life, nor in the next, nor during the past, present, or future. Similarly, the Gyanis, who are aspiring after liberation and trying to become one with the Supreme, yogis are aspiring after so many siddhis or powers, anima, lagima, prapti, etc. However, a devotee is not at all interested in these things because he is fully dependent on the mercy of Krishna. Krishna is Yogeshwara, the possessor of all mystic powers, their siddhis, and he is Atmarama, fully satisfied. The yoga siddhis are described in this verse. One can fly in outer space without the aid of a machine. and he can travel at the speed of the mind. This means that as soon as a yogi desires to go somewhere within the universe, or even beyond this universe, he can do so immediately. One cannot estimate the speed of the mind, for within a second, the mind can go many millions of miles. Sometimes yogis enter into bodies of other people and act as they desire when their bodies are not working properly. When the body becomes old, a perfect yogi can find a young, able body. Giving up his old body, a yogi can enter into the young body and act as he pleases. Being a plenary expansion of Lord Vasudev, Lord Rishabhdev possessed all these mystic yoga powers, but he was satisfied with his devotional love for Krishna, which was evidenced by his ecstatic symptoms, such as crying, laughing, and shivering. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fifth canto, fifth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Rishabhdev's Teachings to His Sons. So Rishabhdev was partial expansion and Shakti Veshavatar of Lord Krishna. And in his spiritual perfection of mystic yoga, he had all of these different cities that the yogis, there's many yogis who aspire for them. Actually, these things are material. Don't really have anything spiritual about them. But when one is, let's say, pure, one can command the material energy in these ways or deal with the material energy in a way that's appears to be mystical. But it's still all material. And so devotees, even when such powers are offered to them, they're not interested in exercising them. The only reason for exercising such powers would be for sense gratification of various kinds. And because the devotees are not fully satisfied, they are not interested in dealing with these things or playing with the material energy in that way. It's interesting here that the perfect yogi can take over some person's young body. Now, that's interesting. One wonders what happens to the original occupant of that body. I don't know. That would seem like a demonic thing to do, but apparently the yogi can do that. Rather than, in other words, that's a way of changing body without having to go through the birth process again. Comments or questions?
Maybe when the person in the young body left that body, the yogi immediately enters.
I don't know. It would all be speculation. We don't know about these things. Ananta, anything? Yes.
Rishabhdev is Supreme Personality of God, but he has symptoms of love for God.
He had what?
He has symptoms of love for God.
Yeah. There's different kinds of expansions of Krishna. There's Svamsa and Vibhinamsa. So Krishna has Svamsa expansions and Vibhinamsa. So we are Vibhinamsa, all the living entities. And among the living entities, then some can be empowered by the Lord for certain purposes. These are called Shaktivesh avatars. So, for example, Vyas is one, and he was empowered to write down the Veda. So they're empowered by the Lord for certain functions. So my understanding is that Rishabhdev was also such a Shakti Vaishavatar, so that he was, let's say, in his spiritual maturity, he was finding union in devotional love with the Supreme Lord. So this is something that you don't see in Krishna's expansions, in the Swamsa expansions. They don't, that's not described for Mahavishnu or for any of the Vishnu expansions. They don't do that because they're Krishna themselves. So Rishabhdev must have been Shakta Vaishavatar, that is a Vibhinamsa expansion who was empowered by, with certain characteristics or powers of the Lord. Okay, yeah.
When this expansion becomes empowered.
I'm sorry?
When this expansion becomes empowered.
When?
Yes.
I don't know when.
From the previous lives, was that empowered, comes empowered?
So let's use the example of Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva, it was necessary to write down the Veda. So some person was needed to do that. So Vyas, he was empowered, he was given the Shakti, the power to be able to understand it, to be able to put it into writing. So I guess the power is given at the time when one needs it, one would imagine. Like that. Okay.
So, we are all expansions in the same way. You also can become empowered in this way.
Yes. Sure, all of us can become empowered. If you go out and preach, you'll find many times Krishna will empower you. He'll put words in your mouth. He'll speak through you. Huh? This is Krishna acting. So it's the same idea. That Krishna, we are like the instruments of Krishna. So, just like if you're writing with a pen, the pen is doing the writing, but not. Right? But it's both you and the pen that are doing the writing. So in the same way, Krishna may use us as his instrument to act in this world. And so that can be for any purpose. And so if the devotee is surrendered to the Lord, then follows the instruction of the Lord, then he can be used for that. Prabhupada is another example of this, how one can say Prabhupada was definitely empowered. Actually, no, it's the Shastra says that unless one is empowered, one cannot spread Krishna consciousness all over the world like that. So we understand that Prabhupada was empowered for that purpose. So not that Krishna did everything. Prabhupada had to work very hard. But the success was given to him as a result of his endeavors because he was empowered like that. He accomplished so much in such a short time due to the being empowered by the Lord. And that can happen for any one of us.